luxury brands. So luxury brands are known for driving values, investing behind the consumer and the customer, coming back with a disruptive ideas in the market. Whether luxury brands in the FMCG industry or any other industry. So Finance for Nine, they are happy to welcome you, Aida, because you're a great guest to support us in that journey. So welcome to the show.
No, thank you. And I think I'm very happy to be here. And I know you personally, Mahmoud, and I'm very proud to see what you're doing. So I feel honestly lucky to be part of this new podcast that you're doing. And yeah, let's share some knowledge with everyone.
Let's do that. So usually in our podcast, we start introducing the guest not with a direct question. We introduce the guest through the purpose, which is something more deeper and has a wide range to explain the true purpose of that guest. So what is your purpose in life, Aida?
That's a very deep question, you know, and I love it because I think we spend a lot of time really in our journeys in life, at work, outside, to really understand what and why are we here, you know? And it changes a lot. And for me, it kept changing and evolving. But somehow it was all more or less linked to one thing, which I believe my own purpose is. I love to empower people to be anything they want to be, you know, to really be anything they want to be outside what the traditions and outside what the society tries to kind of put them around or in a frame, you know. So I believe that I have a gift somehow, a talent, I don't know, that can help people to be confident enough, to speak up enough, to get empowered, you know, to kind of really be who they are and speak up and not be intimidated by what the society is. So, so I believe that would be my purpose.
When you have your purpose and allow the people to be whatever they want to be, sometimes it might fire back at you. Sometimes it doesn't go with the flow that you want to manage it, especially at work or personal. How do you stick to your purpose? Because this is against your purpose.
It's so true what you're saying, you know. And I had someone who told me something amazing. Who told me, you know, Aida, there is a huge difference between intentions and impact. And sometimes you can have very good intentions to do things, but the impact is not what you expected or what you really actually wanted to achieve. So it's always a trick and it's a learning, you know, how to do things and how to deliver your messages by reducing the gap between your intentions and your impact. Because if you have good intentions, but you left bad impact in a way or another on people, or you delivered your message wrong or it fired back, like you said, then you didn't really deliver your purpose. So it's all about how to bridge this gap. So you learn. It's a continuous learning, you know, how to really change your way, how to kind of inspire and not intimidate in the way you talk to about things or you talk to about people, how to not judge, you know, and how to give people space to kind of express themselves in a way and make sure that what they want to deliver in life, and it's there and it's outspoken, and it's not a judgmental environment. Everybody has a way. It has a unique way. I would love to say that. So it's really about being an open-minded person as well and try to give them the space to really speak up and just, and allow everybody to who he or she is. So, yeah, I think it's a continuous learning.
I'll go more deeper here.
Let's do that.
So purpose is coming from the struggle.
Yes.
Does this mean that you struggle for being intimidated or not to express yourself, and that's why you choose your purpose to give the allowance for everyone to be whatever he or she wants to be?
Absolutely. And I love that. And thank you actually for asking me this, because you're allowing me to share a bit of, you know, a personal experience. I wouldn't say a struggle, you know. I was lucky to be born and raised in a decent family, you know, in a good society, good school. So I was actually, in a way, lucky. And I would say lucky, you know. But yes, I think all of us, and especially in the Middle Eastern side world, you know what I mean? I'm sorry that I'm going to bring this up, but like as a woman as well. And I know that this is not the objective of this podcast, but it's true, you know, we cannot hide from these things. And yeah, it's true. Like it wasn't a struggle, but there was challenges. And through those challenges and through building confidence and through understanding myself and trying and to always have this curiosity about why am I here, am I on the right path? Am I doing the right thing? And am I in the right career? Am I not supposed to be here? You know, all these questions that are really fundamental, to be honest. I really think they're very important. Led me to this, led me to my purpose, you know, led me to realize that, yes, I'm someone maybe who is outspoken, you know, I'm an extrovert, I'm not intimidated to speak up. Others are not the same, but it doesn't mean that they don't have their own purpose. It doesn't mean that they don't have their own uniqueness, message that they want to deliver. So I felt like, you know, as a person, I would love to help people to give them this confidence and to tell them that it's okay. You know, it's okay to speak up. It's okay to be who you are. You don't have to be abiding by some society rules. And we're here to support you. We're going to clap for you for the differentiation of who you are. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think I it definitely had an impact on me. I think my upbringing in general, and I think the society where we were, but I didn't see it as a struggle. I saw it definitely as a push. But of course, again, I'm not going to lie to you. I only realized that later on, you know what I mean? And again, it was about learning and wanting to understand more who I am and why am I here. So it doesn't also come like, you know, by night, this is my purpose. It really took me a lot of time to study what is purpose, Aslam, from the beginning, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see.
But yes, it was through challenges, it was through a lot of pushes that led me to where I believe that would be my purpose.
Just reflection, the purpose has to be authentic.
Yes.
And the authentic will come from the push. I'll call it the push, not the struggle.
I love the push, yes. I totally agree with you. And you know what, also, and I feel that this is something important to highlight, when you say I have a purpose, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to work towards this specific purpose as such. Meaning, you know, I always struggled. I was like, am I in the right career path? Because I don't believe that I'm right in the right career path. I should be empowering. I should be only on stages speaking to people. You know what I mean? And absolutely not. I realized that in my daily tasks, whether it's in an office or with team, you know, or through brands, if I'm a marketeer or... I can deliver my purpose in my job. You know, I can really deliver. I can empower through my brands. I can empower my team. I can empower my colleagues. You know, I can empower myself to speak to my bosses. And I realized that on a daily basis, I'm actually on the right path. I'm working towards my purpose. So it doesn't have to be a charity purpose. You know what I mean? Like some people think about it that way.
Mm.
Not at all. With my family, I can deliver my purpose. You know, how to empower them, how to inspire them, and how to change to become a better person for them is something that I can do. So I then realize that I'm actually living through my purpose on a daily basis without necessarily being directly linked or directly working towards what we call my purpose.
Okay. You mentioned brands.
Yes.
And that will lead us to the main subject.
Absolutely,
today.
Yes.
And I see that your purpose is fitting in the way that you speak about the brands. Our topic today is the luxury brands, luxury beauty and value creation associated with that.
Yeah.
Let's start defining, what does it mean, luxury beauty or luxury brands in general?
It's a very good question. The first thing I think that comes to most of the people, I'm not going to say all, when you say luxury product, you know, it's high price.
Hmm.
And there's a huge difference between high price and high value, right? So when we say high price is really what you pay. Well, when you say high value is actually what you receive, right? So when we say luxury product that has a high value, it's much more beyond the product, really. The product matters, whatever it is. But it's not that defines luxury.
Mm.
It's everything else that comes around it. So it's the experience. It's the personalization that you get from the experience. The uniqueness as a consumer that you will receive only and, you know, it's only about you and for you.
Mm.
It's the service. It's the attention to the details. And I would love to highlight that because I think when it comes to luxury, it's about the details, you know? It's about the excellence in everything, in the display, in the presence, in the packaging, in the wrapping. It's a lot of details. It's the service. It's how you communicate, you know? So the attention of the details. And what I love the most personally, it's the emotion, you know? Like the emotion that gets created behind luxury products is really a dream. Like our jobs, when we work in luxury industries, is to really kind of create this dream for our consumers, you know, to take them through a journey that they feel that they are really living in a dream.
Mm.
And that's what makes luxury, you know. It's really about connecting, and it's about connecting to the consumer, and it's about creating unforgotten memories. You know, you need to leave out whatever the product is, whatever the experience is, but you left a memory with this consumer. And I personally believe that this is what differentiates a product, whether a brand or anything, versus another, you know, when it comes to the luxury experience.
I fall in love with the luxury experience. You just explained now. But does this mean that non-luxury brands,
yeah,
if there's a luxury segment and non-luxury segment,
yes,
they don't pay attention to the details, they don't pay attention to the customer and consumer experience?
They definitely do.
Okay.
So we will not say that they don't, for sure not. But I believe that when luxury comes in disruptively, right?
True.
It takes things out of the box. I remember one day, honestly, and I would love to share this experience, I was in a meeting with my top management, and one of my top management were asking the presenter, you know, about, so in this X brand, you know, what do the beauty advisors, the people who sell the products, are wearing? What do people usually wear? And he was like, yeah, in this area, everybody wears black. You know, he's like, okay, so we, as a luxury brand, are going to wear pink. You know what I mean? It's just get out of the box. Do things disruptively. Shock the market, of course, within a specific respectful guidelines about the market, but really go beyond, you know what I mean? And I think this is really what makes luxury different than other, let's say, what we call mass product. It's the details of the grooming of the beauty advisor. It matters, you know, it's how we wrap after, it matters. And yes, I would tell you that maybe when you go buy luxury, which we will come to that later, you will not find me anywhere, right? You will find me in an exclusive area. So to give me the space, to give you the experience, to give me the space, to give you the feeling and the emotion, the connection and the bond, you know, a luxury consumers, by the way, not in all the retail landscape places, but in specific and mostly, love to spend time to buy product. You
true.
Know, you like we care about the seating. It's not a negotiation area, but it's more like it's a service. It's a whole. You know, we can sit down for hours and talk about the same product, and that's what luxury is about. You know, so it's a different type of details, I would say.
Okay. Yes. So every brand has its own detail.
Yes.
But the luxury beauty or luxury brands, they have their different type of details.
100%. 100%.
I think from a few minutes that you just explained that, I can see all the value creation across all the chain.
Yes.
So luxury brands, they are known for the value creation in the market.
Yes.
Being disruptive.
Yes.
Choosing different color for the ushers, for example. Go to different costume or outfit for the ushers, which is another value creation in the market.
Absolutely. 100%. I totally agree. And this takes me to a very important point, which we can link it to the discussion. You know, I remember very old time, in the old times, when we used to look at the value of a brand, when you wanted to evaluate a brand, let's put it that way. We used to see, okay, what are the factors? What are the measurements that we look at when we want to evaluate a brand to be luxury or not? You know, I think in the old days, it was very clear. You know, it was your brand equity. So if you have a strong brand equity, you know, you're a strong brand. It definitely is. I mean, there's no discussion about that. Brand equity and the consistency of the brand messages and the brand DNA in a market is very important. And this is what defines your market shares. This is what defines, you know, your profitability. Everything is important. But more and more now, with what's happening around us, it became more, there are more factors now that goes beyond this. And I would love to share it with you because I think it will answer your question. Today, what defines us as a luxury brand, you know, as a strong luxury brand or a high value luxury brand, is on top of all of what I just mentioned, are two actually very important things. Innovation, you know, and sustainability. There's two things. Innovation when it comes to technology, when it comes to digitalization, and we can talk about that. And sustainability, which is very important, I think. And the more we care about the environment, the more we care about Earth, you know, the more we understand sustainability and the more we take into consideration what happens when we produce a product, you know what I mean? The more of a value creation we create as a luxury brand. And luxury market in general is really pioneering when it comes to sustainability and to drive sustainability, you know what I mean? And I can tell you that only from doing things that really matters in the environment, already we see the high value creation in the value chain that you just mentioned. You know what I mean? When it comes to say, if it's efficiency, so savings comes along, you know what I mean? If it's the resources, you know, we are fighting for our resources and you know how it is in the world right now. So again, when we talk sustainability, how we drive again high value creation there. So all of this really matters. So it's really those two new factors, I would say. I don't want to say new because they've always been there, but let's say emphasized now, are more and more linked to luxury directly, and they have a very important role to play to the value chain of luxury market.
Yeah, let's go aside on the sustainability part.
Yes.
There's a perception that whatever is environment friendly
yes.
has to be expensive.
Yes.
and taking care of the planet will be costly in that sense. What is your views on that?
Not really. I really don't agree 100% on that. I mean, again, I won't tell you I'm an expert in this field, but for sure it's not the case, at least in some of the, let's say, the products that I currently work with, for example. You know, there's a lot of initiatives that we're taking and we're doing that is related to sustainability. And it's driving the product in the most efficient way, which is impacting price. I mean, you know, when you're efficient, you will impact price. And this helps us to have a better price positioning. Again, I don't want to link only luxury to high price point. You know what I mean? It is for sure, but it's because you're receiving a high value in return. But when we drive, I can give you a simple example, like in the fragrance industry, for example, you know, you can go to buy high expensive fragrance, you know, more and more now we're talking about refillables, right? Refillable is cheaper than a full fragrance because of, you know, it's not the same packaging, for example. Mm. But here we are, you know, we're offering something that is less cheap, still extremely luxury because you're going to get exactly the same benefits, you know, and you will even enjoy a much more better experience. You will impact the environment in a better way. We're not losing the same, you know, you're just recycling the same bottle. You're not throwing, you're not, you know, so it's really positive impact on the environment and you're not paying a high price for it. And that's exactly what we're trying to actually more and more educate our consumers for.
It's a valid point. When the luxury brands walk the talk,
yeah,
and take these steps, it will be like a role model for the mass brands.
Yes.
If the luxury brands are doing this and the consumer of the luxury brand, they are following that refill approach.
Absolutely.
How about the mass where they are squeezed when it comes to price and serving a bigger consumer base in that yes. sense?
And you know what? And this comes maybe to another point, which is, you know, luxury for the consumers itself, forget about the other peer industries, you know, I'm talking about even the consumer. The consumers who buys luxury, they get so empowered and have a pride, sense of pride when they buy a brand, you know. And when they see that their brand are more and more engaging into these positive initiatives, they themselves want to take such positive impacts and initiatives in the world. You know what I mean? And you know what? Actually, even more and more, you know, I don't think it's a surprise to say that today the biggest chunk of our consumers are the Gen Zs. It's a fact. You know what I mean? And the Gen Zs are known for this. You know, they are really kind of segmented. You have the people who love the environment. They're very much vocalists. You know, they have communities. You know, they want to save the world. And
they take action.
They actually do that. You know, and they pushed us as brands to be this way. You know, because they are the ones with the high spenders now for us. They are kind of the main consumers. So if we want to talk to those consumers, we have to talk to them in their language. And more now, we have to understand that. So they actually, it's not even that we influenced even the let's say, the peer industries, which is the mass, for example. Even our consumers impacted us and we impacted them.
Mm.
And this is something that we're very proud of because it really kind of also shows how we connect emotionally. And then I come back again to the emotions, you know. It's all about connection emotionally. It's all about community. It's all about belonging. And again, this is what luxury does. You know, it gives you the sense of belonging. It creates empowerment. It gives you a sense of status. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So when you as a luxury brand, whatever you are, give this to your consumers and then they see that you are walking the talk, like you said, and trying to make this world a better place, they also become a better consumer to this earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm enjoying this discussion. I'll go back to that, to the price tag.
Yes.
Just zooming in on the finance for non-finance subject here.
Sure.
We all agree that the luxury products, luxury brands come at higher price tag, but at the same time, there is a higher value in return on that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's signs behind how to price, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
In the market, in different markets, different products, different experience. But what are the limits for the higher price tag? For example, if I say that this luxury brand, this luxury product, in terms of higher product, will be $10 as
yeah.
a high price.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why not 50? Why not 20? Why not 100?
Yeah.
Because the perception, we need to correct the perception here, that we're saying that you're going to get in return the experience and the value received from that.
Yeah.
But we cannot measure the value that you're going to receive out of that.
Yeah.
It's just the experience that you feel. It's not tangible. Based on what we price the high tag, high price tag
yeah,
for
yeah.
the beauty or luxury brands.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a very good question. I mean, there's there's the very, let's say, official answer, like say I can say that to you, which is basically, it's very important, by the way, for any product, whatever it is, not to be overpriced. And that's, and I love what you said, because sometimes we can go, you know, we can price it as much as we want, like you said, and believe that this is the experience that you can get. So this is X price that is needed. But then you realize that you're overpriced, you know, so whatever value you're giving to your consumer doesn't maybe perceived at that price. And it happens. Let's put it out loud. You know, it does happen, right? So it's very important also for whatever industry it is, whether it's beauty, whether it's fashion, whether it's service, you know, whatever it is, that first of all, you keep an eye on what's happening around you and you compare yourself. You know, you're not alone in an industry. So it's important to definitely keep an eye on what's happening around you, to understand also what differentiates you versus others, right? So it's not only about the product, but what are you bringing that is extraordinary as a service, as a product, as a, I don't know, whatever it is, commodity, that you're bringing exceptionally to your consumer that could be priced. I'll give you another example. Within luxury, there's luxury. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, really. Like there are, within luxury, you have the, what we call the most premium luxury, right? You have the bags that cost, I don't know, millions and millions, you know, and they are limited editions with numbers, you know, with like, you are the only one that's gonna have this bag, you know what I mean? And yes, you can go over the sky here in terms of price, you know, and then of course the value that you will bring also to the consumer, again, I'm speaking emotionally, is it very high? She or he is going to be the only person who's holding this piece of bag, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So you have that, and you have also what we call also in our industry, for example, what we call the accessible niche or the accessible luxury. Still luxury, still like very expensive compared to the mass products, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But it's doable, it's accessible, it's okay. Because we know that from this product, from this brand, you would might get a similar service or a similar product from another competitive luxury brand. So there's nothing exceptional over there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see.
The more the innovation, the more the tech in your products as well, with what's happening today in our world, the more you can be faster, the more you can be more differentiated, the more you have space to put maybe a higher price tag. But again, a higher price tag compared to the higher experience that you will generate out of it. So it's not just about putting a high price and you believe that this is it, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And of course, again, I don't want to neglect something that is important. A brand equity costs, you know what I mean? A high brand equity, without mentioning any brands, that is healthy when it comes to financial you know, statements, that is healthy when it comes to engagement, that it from digital and from social, you know, that it gives a high value for its consumer, would have much more space to have a higher price tag, let's put it that way, versus maybe other brands that doesn't have the similar experience. So there's a lot of factors that we really look into when we come and price a product, you know, not just about normal, you know, cost versus revenue, and then we price. No, it goes beyond that. That what are we really bringing that is different to the market that could be perceived as a high value? That's why it will deserve this such of a high price compared to what's happening in the competition and the market.
So you mentioned the exclusivity part of the luxury beauty. Some luxury brands, they lose their compass, they lose their key, they lose their direction.
Mm.
They declare that we are a luxury brand, we're an exclusive brand, but for the hunger, for the growth, they go wild and white, if I may say.
Yes.
How you keep the balance between being an exclusive brand with a certain price tag within the premium range, but at the same time, you be exclusive and you get your exact segment or target customer, the experience, and at the same time,
yeah,
keep the growth momentum on track.
Yes, I love this question, actually. So yes, are we exclusive or inclusive? You know, we always keep asking ourselves this, you know, are we for everybody or we're not? We're, you know...
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, are we? But no, actually, I'll tell you something. We are both, you know?
Okay.
So when we talk exclusivity, we don't exclude people from our products, you know? And I will tell you what I mean.
Hmm.
We talk about exclusivity when it comes, for example, to distribution. So yeah, we're very exclusive, you know, as a luxury brand, whatever it is, or a product, you know? So when we speak distribution, when we speak route to market, when we speak about availability, we're very much selective where we want to be, with who we want to be, you know what I mean? Mm. And this is also very important because this is exactly what we don't want to lose. There's a brand DNA, there's a brand expression also. We have to express ourselves in the right way. and not everywhere we can. So we need to make sure that we where we can express is the right expression. So that this is how I would think we are exclusive in a sense. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We're exclusive also in the way we communicate. Like, for I'm going to give a very commercial example. You know, like when we do value offers, or when we, you know, we want to bring a generous offer to our consumers, which happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Luxury brands, you won't find this a lot. Or even if they do it, they will do it in a very discreetly way. They will not very do. You won't find a luxury brand presenting it in a very... you know, the normal way, buy one, get one type of, and sorry, it's very commercial, but it's true. I'm just giving an example, sure. You know, we will still give maybe the same percentage of a value, or we would give, you know, the same generosity, but in a very luxury way, you know, in a very packing different, you know, service for free, something completely different, you know. So this is how I would think exclusivity. But are we inclusive? Absolutely, yes, you know. So we talk to everybody, you know, we talk to men, we talk to women, you know, we talk to a lot of different ages. We don't talk to one age, despite if we say that one, you know, Gen Zs or millennials are mainly the high spenders on luxury. But this doesn't mean that we don't talk to the other generations as well. Within luxury, you have so many propositions of product, you know what I mean? Whether it's fashion or beauty or whatever, or even service, you know what I mean? Like, I love Emirates, for example, and I'm sorry to mention a name, but I love how they do it. I don't think anybody who uses Emirates doesn't believe he's using a luxury experience, but you're still an economy, right? But it's inclusive. He's telling you are part of us, you know what I mean? And we will still give you a level of standard that you will not get somewhere else. You know, but there is also the most higher premium, where there is the first class and the business classes, which is much higher to whoever believes he wants to enjoy this experience. Similarly to our products, you know, when it comes to beauty, for example, if I speak about it, you would have the high premium, like I mentioned, you know, the very top notch type of products.
Mm.
And you have the accessible products, you know, which is still very much luxury. You will get the same service. You will get the same branding, you will get the same, you know, experience, you will get the innovation out of it as well, you know what I mean? But you will not get maybe some benefits or some sizes or some, you know, categories in this brand that could be a little bit much more premium. So I always see it like this, you know, we are exclusive in a way, but we are definitely talking to everybody. And it's more and more getting into this, like, we should talk to everybody and be inclusive to everybody. And this comes to what I told you in the beginning, you know, my purpose. It's very important that we accept everybody the way he or she is. You know what I mean? And we try to accommodate as much as possible, and to try to empower through our brands people who believes that they, whatever they believe, you know what I mean? Whoever they are. But the higher the value, in a way, sometimes it will be the higher the cost and the higher the price. But we try also to accommodate everybody.
Yeah. Before moving to the next point, what you're saying, that the luxury segment,
yes,
it is somehow fragmented,
mm-hmm,
similar to the mass.
Mm.
So within the luxury segment,
yes,
there is different tiers of
luxury. Yes, this is so true. Yes.
Yeah. And then, yes, every tier of that luxury has a role to play.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Ah, I see.
But what's very important, and what you mentioned earlier, that you don't lose your DNA.
Yes.
And that's very important. We are not here to lose our DNA as brands. You know, we have a message, we have an emotion, we have an experience, we have a tech, we have whatever it is that belongs to us as a brand that is differentiating us versus others. We always have to keep this. So you would never find a brand that loses. The brand that loses itself, like you said, is, I think, the ones that loses their DNA, that they don't know what they stand for. They don't know what their strategy is. You know, they don't know what they're trying to deliver. If you have this... you know, fixed, and you know what you are and where you are and what you want to do, what your products are trying to achieve, you will never lose your direction, even though you try to accommodate through different tiers, like you said.
Okay. You mentioned the tech and Generation Z.
Yeah.
If this is, we said, as an inclusive culture, you're accepting everyone, but
yes,
if this is your main consumer and customer at the end.
Yes.
Now, Generation Z only speak about the technology.
Yes.
Augmented reality,
absolutely,
virtual reality,
yeah,
and all of the new tech that we're facing now.
Yeah.
If luxury brands will not cope with that, it will lose its compass as well. So it has to cope with that.
100%.
So in that sense, how you see luxury brand adapting the technology,
mm-hmm,
and how both together they're creating value?
Yes, I love this question. Again, I'm lucky again to work in a company, to be honest, that taught us the meaning of this. I'm, without mentioning names, but the company that I work with spends billion of dollars in R&D, research and development. Okay. And we believe 100% that R&D, research and development, is really the tool that kind of bring creativity and science together. Okay. Now, AI, artificial intelligence, came along, okay, and I think it is the perfect complementary to power up our R&D. So today, with artificial intelligence, with data, you know, and with creativity, when we put all of this together, it's the perfect recipe to create things, whether it's product, whether it's services, whether it's experiences, that were never there before. And this is what we try to do with luxury. You know, we try to work on all of this. We invest a lot on research. We respect data, you know. We value creativity a lot. And we really try to always have a harmonization between all of these to be more always advanced into what we do, whether it comes into products. So when we say innovation, it's about a lot of things. It's products that could be, you know, leading in innovation. It could be services. And it could be a lot of other, you know, it's really a lot of things. It's not really like directed to one thing. When people think it's innovation, it's only a product. No, we can be very much advanced technology in a service. And we have that. We have that today in the market, in the GCC, in our brands even. So it's already happening as we speak.
Okay. Do you think the AI and the technology will have a different consumer experience in the future?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes.
So technology can impact luxury brands like clothing brands, bags brands, but if I go deeper for luxury beauty,
yeah,
how technology will impact this industry?
I can give you real examples. I mean, it's reality.
Life on the market.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
Again, without maybe mentioning brands, but
definitely yes.
But I can tell you that it's there, and I can assure you that there. One of the most amazing technology that I personally I'm a big fan of, you know, we call it the scent sensation. Okay. Scent sensation. So basically it's a machine, it's a device, you know, that tackles your emotions in the brain, you know, and it's very personalized. So every person has its own way, has his own, her waves, you know, in the brain.
Yes.
And from those brains, it kind of identifies the perfect scent for you just because of your waves. So it, to that extent, the experience is personalized. You know, it kind of helps you as a Mahmoud, for example, one day to understand what would be the perfect scent. Is it the woody? Is it the rose? Is it based on what your brain loves and understands? This is how crazy technology can go. You know what I mean? Another amazing example would be, you know, we work in beauty, so there's a lot of foundation and makeup, and you know, without going into much details, but reality of things is the skin tones of the humans is so different from one person to another.
True.
So to be, again, extra personalized to that person and to cater for their needs in their most unique way, we have devices that uses artificial intelligence to match the skin tone of that uniqueness of that person, you know, and blend different shades of foundation to get you the perfect foundation that fits only you. You know what I mean? Again, this is two examples of my favorite, but you have so many of this, and more are coming. That really kind of, again, leverage the artificial intelligence to have this more of luxury personalized experiences.
And that's what I think we discuss offline. In such an industry like luxury brands, luxury beauty, the more they work on their technology, the more it will be driving economy and value creation in the market.
Absolutely, 100%.
We've seen the big high-tech company a few days back announce their new augmented reality set.
Yes,
it is super expensive, I agree.
Yes.
But this is like the first version of the mobile phone, touch mobile phone.
Yes.
And now everyone is jumping into that and creating so many other jobs, ideas, creativity in the market behind one idea, luxury brand invented in the market. The value chain, the entire value chain will be impacted based on that.
Absolutely, 100%. No, I totally agree with you. And I think it's really the role of the luxury, I think, industry that pioneers when it comes to this high value creation, you know, it's true. Like, and it's not only because of it's the high price tags. And that's what me and you were just talking about. It's not about because it's expensive product, then, you know, automatically it will drive the value chain of a company. No, not at all. It's really about everything else other than the price, you know. It's everything that creates around it, everything that really combines all the experiences together, that what makes the difference of the luxury, let's say, industry in general.
Okay. So time flies. So the last question I have.
Yes.
That's very interesting discussion, Aida.
No, thank you. Me too. I'm very much enjoying it.
The question here is that, you know, the four P's in the brand.
Yeah.
And every single P of that impact the P&L at the end.
Yes.
It's like a summation of all of the the four P's in the market and how the P&L will be constructed and your profitability and growth in that sense. Defining beauty went through phases. If you go back 15 years ago, beauty means X. And then 5 years back, beauty means Y. And very recently, you see a new definition of the beauty as you speak now. So beauty definition change over time.
Yes.
Do you see that in the future, beauty definition will change again and evolve again? And
yes, I think.
What do you think will be the definition of beauty in the future?
Yeah, I think the definition of beauty is more and more becoming authentic. And again, I love this personally, you know, I think more and more again, when we talk beauty, it's about being authentic as a person. And this is the role of the brands today, you know, as brands, when we talk to our consumers, it's always about being you and being authentic. We're here only to help you and to just shine and to make you help you shine the way you are. We're not here to adjust you or to change you. You know what I mean? We're actually here to liberate you, you know, and we have brands that carry those names, you know, it's a fact. All our brands today is all about empowerment, is all about enhancing the person who he, she is. And I love that because this is really what beauty is about today. You know what I mean? And again, it comes back to what me and you spoke about. People today define, or not people, consumer today, define beauty. And love the beauty brands in specific, you know, the luxury beauty brands that has a cause and has a purpose. And again, thanks to the Gen Z, I think, because again, these are the consumers that kind of really looking for the bigger picture. You know, if this brand talks about confidence in women, for example, what is it doing for women then? You know, it's just a question that we get. And this is also how we now start defining our marketing strategy, for example. Like, it's true that now it's not just about selling a product. It's about now showing the big picture, standing behind a cause, you know, empowering our consumer from a bigger perspective to link to what we say and what we do in real life. So I believe, yes, you're right. I think the future of the beauty is going to continuously change, evolve, I would say it that way. More and more, it's actually becoming authentic. And I think I'm happy and I'm enjoying this ride, to be honest. And that's our job now as brands to adapt to this and to highlight this also, because we do stand for a lot of beautiful causes, and it's just about now showing the world what we stand for.
Yeah, what a fabulous ending, because now we're going back to your purpose.
Yes.
About being inclusive.
Absolutely.
And you're the first person I see thanking Generation Z.
Yes. Yes.
Without being part of the Generation
Z. Exactly. I'm not.
I'm not as well. But it's part of being inclusive and accepting and seeing the beauty in others.
Yes. They're inspiring. Honestly, I like their boldness. Again, there's no majority. And we're talking about the majority, like, of course, and how they are defined. And absolutely, 100%. Yeah, there's no rule for everybody. But they have a boldness and they have a drive. And they're driving everybody around something that is much more generous and something more genuine. And yes, it's amazing. It's amazing that they stand for what they believe in. And they make us all now to stand for what we believe in, you know?
I agree. I think that that's a luxury experience for me, I have to say, and for my audience. Really appreciated what you shared. I think the value creation, the luxury beauty now in terms of picture has been painted beautifully by you.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, and looking forward for further collaboration as well. Wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Mahmoud. And I honestly enjoyed a lot our discussion, and you're doing something fantastically great coming from a financial professional. But I think it's amazing also to show people how when we speak finance, it's not finance as in like Excel sheets, you know, it's the business, it's what's happening outside the world. And linking everything together, because eventually I think everything is linked. So congratulations on what you're doing, and keep it up. And I would love to one day collaborate even further.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Aida.